Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, The Four Dimensions of Prayer.
So Romans 8, 26 to 28. I'm almost there, hold on, amen. In Luke chapter 11. So when you have the word, say, I have the word. Some of you have not met. I have three older sons. Lawrence Jr., graduate of Duke University. Justin, graduate of Winston-Salem and Lee Law School. And then Javaris, my prayer is soon you guys will get to meet him and you'll interact more with them. All right, they're all in the wonderful state of North Carolina. They love it. Don't like coming out of it. And Justin is in Richmond. All right. And I got some grandbabies. Yes, that good-looking young man up there is a grandfather. Yeah. Romans chapter 8, amen, verse 26 to 28. Amen. When you have the word, say, I have the word. All right. I'll probably read it, amen. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. Let me read that again. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not to pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and searches the hearts and knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to his purpose. Right? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It cannot work together for good when we are not praying. Don't miss this, because this section goes together as a privilege. If you want it to work together good, then you need to be praying. Don't just think it's going to happen by happenstance, or this generation deals with a lot of luck. Right. Man, you just lucky. No, I'm not just lucky. I'm just a prayer. All right. So it works together for good to them that are prayers and praying. All right. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And this is the part that I'll lift. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Luke 11:1. So you won't think I'm building it, amen, just on one passages. Scripture, amen, but I could read many, many more that validates what I'll share with you today, amen. Luke chapter number 11, verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Read it one more time. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased. So that means for a period of time, they sat and they watched him pray. One of the things that we're missing in this time is allowing folks, especially our children, to let them sit and watch us pray. Because this generation are seers. That's why they can stand and look at that tablet so long, because they're seers. So if they don't see it, more than likely, they won't do it. I was listening to Jensen Franklin this morning, and he was talking about how he watched his father pray. That he used to sneak in the sanctuary, because his father would go to the sanctuary, amen, and he would pray. And he said he used to sneak in the sanctuary and hide up under the benches, because it was a great mystery when his father went to the altar of prayer. And he used to just sit up on the bench, and he said for hours, his father, not knowing that he was there, he would watch his father pray. And he says now he does the exact same thing that his father did. Don't go nowhere yet. Who is not praying? Because they've never seen you pray. God forbid that our children lack the discipline of prayer seen us pray. Every now and then, you need to wake little Johnny up and say, come watch me pray. Y'all ain't saying nothing now. That's okay. And it came to pass, Luke 11:1, and then I'll get into my message, that he was praying in a certain place. When he had ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. All right. For the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking about the four dimensions of prayer. And I gave them to you, amen, a couple weeks ago. Dimension number one is the posture of surrender through daily surrendering. The posture of surrender through daily saying. That's the first dimension. The second dimension is the alignment to desiring and seeking after one thing. Don't get this twisted and don't get this wrong, but sometimes our list in prayer is causing us to doubt, believing that God's going to do it. Okay, I'm going to help you. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes our list of what we want God to do in prayer is too long, and now because he has not done any of it, we're doubting that he will ever do one thing of it. So what we have to master is minimizing what's most important. Minimizing to 2, 3, 4 things. I'm going to keep this in prayer because hear me, when you see him do one of the 2, 3 things, you're going to see the rest done by you just calling it out one time. So the second dimension is the alignment to desiring and seeking after one thing. The third dimension is forming and speaking words of faith which agree with God's perfect will. Forming and speaking the words of faith which agree with God's perfect will. Don't cancel your answer because what you say when you come out of prayer. Don't cancel your answer because what you say once you come out of prayer. You'll get it when I focus on it, all right? And then number four, the fourth dimension is, and it is a couple of things, but it goes together. Standing still, receiving the divine download, waiting, ordered movement, and complete obedience. Standing still, receiving the divine download, waiting, ordered movement, complete obedience. And then when your obedience is complete, you will see the thing done. This truly is the courtship of possibilities and promises. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister for these next 15, 20 minutes. Give me articulation of speech. Let me declare your truths. Let me declare it in a way that it is receivable, Lord. Let me declare it in a way that it is receivable, Lord. Lord, help. We don't know how to pray. We thank you, God, for now giving us something relevant, something that we can hang on to, that we'll never be here again, that we will not know how to move. Amen. That we can get our prayers answered. We thank you. We glorify your name. This is our prayer this morning, and all God's people said amen and amen. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 2 through 4, amen. Ministers, y'all can be released, amen. Thank you, Holden, amen. You're good. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 2 through 4, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord, according to his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby, and this is the part that I want you to hear, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. He has given us all things that pertain through life and godliness. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 4 through 7, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderations be known to all men that the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And the scripture is clear. It says in everything. by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the very peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your minds through Jesus Christ. Proverbs said, acknowledge him first in all of our ways, and then he will direct our paths. Romans 8 began to pick it up, and it begins to explain the privileges that every believer possess. The first privilege is that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. It is so important for us to understand before we go to the altar of prayer that there is no condemnation. So often when we are praying, we are trying to get through the barrier of feeling condemned. I love what my friend Israel Houghton said. God is not mad with us, but he is madly in love with us. I'm so glad that God is not like people. He does not hold things over us, but when we ask him for forgiveness, he casts it into a sea, and he does not pull it up on a weekly basis. So the first privilege that we have, according to, and all these privileges are really important to know as we go to Lord helping us to pray, that there is no condemnation. Come on, somebody say to me, no condemnation. All right, there is no condemnation, and we see that in verse 1 through 9. That is the first privilege of the believer, that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. The second privilege is that that through the indwelling spirit, we are made alive. Through the indwelling spirit, we have now been made alive. So alive that 1 Peter picks it up, and he calls us lively stones. We are alive, dead to sin, alive unto righteousness. Dead to sin, alive unto righteousness. So not only is there no condemnation, but now I'm alive. Somebody say to me real loud, I am alive. I'm alive. We've been made alive by the indwelling spirit. That's found in verse 10 through 16. And then the third thing is not only we've been made alive, not only is there no condemnation, but we are now heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we've been delegated with the authority of ruling and reigning. All these things are privileges that if we don't understand, we're going to ask prayers as poor people and beggars and those that have no good father. But when I understand that there is no condemnation, when I understand that I've been made alive unto Christ, when I understand that I am an heir with God and I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and now I've been given the ability to rule and reign with Christ, it changes the way I pray when I pray. But when I don't know these things, I pray like this: Lord, if it's your will, if you do it on a Tuesday, and if you don't mind, and I'm not bothering you so much, and if I can get some grace and mercy, give me 2 pennies. Because you do not know that there is no condemnation. You do not know that you've now been made alive unto Christ. You do not understand that you're not only an heir with God, but you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And you've been given the ruling and reigning with Christ on earth and soon judging the angels in heaven. When you understand this privilege, you begin to pray differently. You don't beg devils to leave. You command them to leave. You didn't hear what I said. When you understand these privileges, when you're praying, you don't beg devils to leave. You command them to leave. Because you understand that I've been given the ability that whatsoever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatsoever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, do you understand your privilege? Fourth privilege is, and this is where we'll camp out today, in verse 26 through 28, he gives us the privilege that when we pray, he would help us. The fourth privilege is that the Bible says that God has given to the believers is that when you pray, I'm going to help you. When you pray, I'm going to help you. We as believers have been granted the incredible privileges privileged of access to the throne of the Most High God. We are now allowed to sit at his counsel. And we're counseling with the God who is over the whole earth. Hebrews says, seeing then that we have such a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmity, but at all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, listen what the scripture says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Let me read that again, because we're coming, amen, in a manner in which we should not be coming. He says, therefore, since you have a high priest that can be touched with your infirmities, he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may have mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. He has graced us with the privilege of getting help when we pray. He said it in Matthew chapter number 6, after this manner you should therefore pray, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We as believers, we have the privilege that every day we can ask him for our daily bread, and he promised, I would give you what you have need of. That's a privilege. We don't have to go to the priest. We're not Catholic in nature. We don't have to go into a booth and go to confessional and hopefully that the priest will bless us. We don't have to do none of that. We can get on our knees and we can go right up into the throne room. And we can sit, and I don't think we really understand this, we can sit at the very feet of Godhead and listen to the very counsel of God and come out of that ready for every day and whatever this day would behold. But because we have not prayed as we ought, we're begging to get through one more day. But we have the privilege to access the very throne of God. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't forget that. Don't forget. Don't forget that. Those of you that are educators, we have the privilege of accessing the very throne room of God, and you cannot forget that. Those of you that are working in the marketplace, we have the privilege of accessing the very throne of God and then come back and do business on earth. Don't forget that. Those of you that are parenting in a postmodern culture where people are drifting into a postmodern abyss that are absent of any foundational truth, you have the privilege of accessing the very throne of God, sit at the counsel of God, and then come back out and do life. But because we don't understand that, we don't value that, we miss the benefit of that. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, what would happen to you if every morning between 3 and 5 a.m., come on, tell them, a.m., you sat in the counsel of God? Ah, God, I feel like preaching, and Malachi is praying that I'm close to finish. Every morning we have the privilege. He has granted us access. His son went to the cross, died, stretched him wide. He gave his blood. They pinched him in the side that he could defeat all enemies, go back to the Father, become our high priest. So anytime we like, we can go sit at his feet, get his counsel, and then come back and do life. What would happen? What would happen to us if between 3 and 5 every morning we the opportunity, and I'm not saying from 3 to 5, I'm just saying between the hours, whatever you have need of, you access it as you have need. If you only need a little, go for a couple minutes, come on out. But if you need a whole lot, you just have to sit there for a little while. But what if we did that on a continual basis, that now we habitually did it, that now we couldn't live without it? Oh God, I'm going to say that again. What if we did it continually, that it becomes a habit, that it becomes that we can't live without it? I'm going to tell you what would happen. Some of you would get up at 2:59 and the power of God would be so great that you could not stand, but you'd have to kneel because God was waiting for you. Tell your neighbor you've been given access. You've been given access. I'm so glad that when I go to access him, I don't hear access denied. We have the ability to sit before the counsel of God and then come back out into life. Some of us need to practice that so we can go demonstrate that the other, because we have some neighbors that are not doing life well. And life is trying to wear them out. And we've got to show them through how we access the throne of God and how the throne of God empowers us. And then we come out and live life victorious and conquering. Nothing being able to stand before us. And we then instruct them, hey, get up. I got 3 or 4 people that I'm counseling outside of this local assembly. And I'm telling them, they ask me, why are you so happy? Why are you all so joyous? Why are you so positive? And I told them, I said, I've got a prayer life. Got a prayer life. And what this mind can't handle, that mind can. I'm almost done. What if between 3 and 5, we got up and accessed the throne room and we sat there at his counsel? I'm going to say this again. We would come out with witty inventions. We would come out destroying the works of the devil. They would take stuff from our body to hospitals that would heal folks. Because we sat at the counsel of God. He said, in this manner, pray, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread. If we practiced that and it became habitual, we would never lack daily bread. The dilemma is, are we humble enough to pray? Thank you, sister. Somebody appreciating my preaching. Thank you. It does a preacher good. All right. The dilemma is, are we humble enough to pray? Stay with me because I promise you I'm almost done. The dilemma is, are we humble enough to pray? But that's not just all. Are we humble enough to pray? And then are we humble enough to ask for assistance praying and or admitting, I don't know how to pray? I just said something that some of you missed because it was trifold. The dilemma is, are we humble enough to pray? And I'm talking about praying from the posture of being surrender and surrendering. That's the first dilemma. I don't know if this generation has been taught enough lessons to become humble enough to pray. But it's not enough to just pray. Are we humble enough to ask for assistance where we need assistance? Because some of us, and I ain't talking about you, I'm talking about your neighbor, but some of us need a whole lot of assistance, but the assistance is not coming because we are not humble enough to ask for assistance. This is the big one that I'm really driving home today. It's not enough to be humble enough to pray. It's not enough to ask for assistance. The question is, are we humble enough to say, Lord, I don't know how to pray? And if you keep living, you're going to have some situations that you thought you was in control, but now you know you ain't in control. Come on, Elder Blackwell, help me here. And in this situation, I don't know what to pray. And if you have not experienced that yet, keep on living and you're going to find out, I really don't know what I need to pray for this morning between 3 and 5. See, because westernized Christianity, the only way we pray is a Santa Claus wish list. And you're going to keep living life to find out that when the wish list has been fulfilled, now I'm dealing with some stuff that I really got to pray about. Oh, God. I'm going to say that again. Once you keep living and the wish list. You got the kind of car you want to drive. You living where you want to live. Amen. You got money in your pocket and your bills are paid. If you're sick, you got health insurance. You don't need no healing. You're going to keep living and you're going to come to a place that you're going to say, in this situation, I need God. So the question is, are we humble enough to admit, I don't know how to pray right here?
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.